Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, here to bring you some good news in the morning. We're going to look at some of life's challenges and then allow Jesus to speak. I'm glad that you've tuned into CFRA today. And I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what is happening around Good News Christian Ministries. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are listening from far off places via the internet. We're glad that you found us and that you're finding this ministry an encouragement. This morning, I want to talk about worry and what Jesus has to say about it. Now, when Jesus was here on earth, the topic that he talked about most was the kingdom of God. He began his ministry talking about the kingdom of God, and all through his ministry, he talked about the kingdom of God. He demonstrated the kingdom of God, and he rose from the dead, and the Bible says that he taught the disciples about the kingdom of God. Now, one of the first things I love about Jesus is that Jesus' vision for the kingdom of God provides an alternate way of living, an alternate way of being. You can see that in how we are to treat people. The rule of the kingdom is love. You can see that in how our attitudes are supposed to be. Jesus provides a different way of living. And Jesus was very practical as well. This morning we are going to talk about Luke chapter 12, and there he talks about the kingdom of God and worry. Specifically, worry about money. Most people live in worry, but the kingdom of God is something different. You know, that being said, I know what it's like to live in worry. I know that some of you know what it's like to live in worry. In fact, some of you have worry right down to an art form. And saying, don't worry, doesn't really help. It's kind of like these parents who received a letter from their son at scout camp. Dear Mom and Dad, our scoutmaster told us to write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two of our sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened. Oh, yes, please call Chad's mother and tell her he is okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was really neat. We never would have found him in the darkness if it hadn't have been for the lightning. Now, Scoutmaster Long got mad at Chad for going on a hike alone without telling anyone. Chad said he did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Don't worry, it didn't hurt anything very much, just burned part of the chow hall. Scoutmaster Long said, we'll have to wash the black stuff off the meat that used to be in the cooler. But he said it'd be all right. Did you know that if you put gas on a fire that the gas can will blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did. Also some of our clothes. John is going to look weird until his hair grows back. And guess what? I've passed all our first aid marriage badges. When Dave dove in the lake and cut his arm, we all got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Wade and I threw up. Scoutmaster Long said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. But don't worry about anything. We are fine. Love, Cole. P.S. How long has it been since I've had my tetanus shot? You know, hearing don't worry when you're worrying doesn't really help. But here's what I find does help, the words of Jesus. I'm going to read them from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 22, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and here's what it says. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food and your body more than clothing. You know, look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying about bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives the Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. An alternate way of living. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows what you need. Worry dominates the thoughts of people all over the world. But the kingdom of God is to be different. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you are called to something different. Would you like to step into an alternate way of being where you walk in peace rather than worry? Where you like to walk with a sense of well-being rather than anxiety? If you would, then listen and hear the words of Jesus. Before we do that, though, we're going to be reminded of what Jesus has said with the song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Come with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, yet God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Jesus in this passage is not talking about all worry. He's talking about worry about of a specific kind. He's talking about worrying about everyday life. Those ongoing stresses that build up. You know, the first century world was somewhat different than our world in some ways, but in some other ways, it's the same. People both then and now wonder if they have enough to survive. I think if Jesus were speaking to our culture, he would say, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether or not you have enough money. Life is more than what you can buy. Look at the crows, the ravens. God takes care of them. You are far more valuable to God than any bird, and God will take care of you." Now, I realize that there's a whole range of people listening to Good News in the Morning. Some of you make extremely good money. Others of you are the working poor. Others of you, for one reason or another, can't work. And I know that when each of us hears these verses, we hear them differently. What I want to do is urge those of you who make good money not to turn me off by saying, "Well, that applies to someone else." You know, sometimes I think those who have more worry about money more. The top three reasons of marital breakup: money, sex, and in-laws. Money hits the top of the list. Some really good friends of mine are going through a marital breakup, and their household income is in the neighborhood of $130,000, $140,000 a year, and yet the reason for the breakup is centered around money. Having money does not preclude worrying about money. What Jesus has to say is for everyone who is worried, whether or not you have enough. There are a couple of misconceptions about what Jesus is saying, so let me clear those up first. There's a huge difference between worrying about money and managing money. Or to put it another way, the opposite of worrying about money is not spending without a plan. In fact, some worries about money come from the lack of planning to manage what you have. Another misconception is that the best way to deal with worry about money is to make a lot of it. But whether you focus on how much you don't have or how much you have to do to make money, your life is still about money. Jesus clearly says, your life is about more than what you can buy. Another misconception is that the way to deal with our wants is not to desire anything. You know, that'd be a very Zen way of approaching it. But Jesus says here, wanting what you need is okay. Desire is okay. Worrying about where you are is going to come from is the problem. So let's walk through what Jesus has to say. He says in verse 25, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things?" Jesus says, the first thing to realize is that worry does not accomplish anything. You can't extend your life by worry. If you can't do something like that, then why worry about the bigger things? It just doesn't help. If you've ever lay awake in the middle of the night worrying about money, you know it doesn't help. If you've ever let your anxiety about money creep into your relationship, you will know worry does not help. Jesus comes along and says, there's a better way to live, an alternative way to live. He says, the first thing you need to know is that worry doesn't help. Now, the reason why that is helpful is because, well, you know, if you know worry doesn't help, then you're going to stop worrying. Well, no, that's not the case. But the issue is that until you see worry as a problem, you will never deal with the problem. See, we usually are worried about the things we're worried about. We're worried about whether we have enough money or good health, or we worry about the people we care about. And we focus on the object of our worry. Jesus comes along and says, the issue that you think is an issue isn't the main issue. The main issue isn't a lack of money. The main issue is worry. Your lack of money is an issue, but it's not the main issue. Worry is the issue. Your worry doesn't change your lack of money, but worry changes you, and not in good ways. It has an effect on your physical body, on your emotions, on your spiritual life. Jesus says, I want something better for you. Life in the kingdom of God is not about the absence of trouble, but it's about the ability to have peace in the middle of trouble. It's about being able to flourish despite the trouble. So Jesus says, I want you to know that the issue is worry. Then he goes on to say two things. Verse 24, look at the raven, or the New International Version says, consider the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feeds them. And you're far more valuable to him than any birds. And then he goes on in verse 27, look at the lilies, or the NIV says, consider the lilies. How they grow. They don't worry or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? The birds don't worry about what they're going to eat, but God feeds them. The lilies don't worry about how they look, but God clothes them. And you are more valuable than birds. You are more important than flowers. God fed and clothed them. How much will he not feed and clothe you? Then he adds this line. Why do you have so little faith? The provision of your needs for your needs comes out of the character of God. The first thing you need to know is that worry is the problem. The next thing you need to do is have a deep, settled faith in the character of God. Do you really believe that God is good? So how do you get that kind of faith? Well, that faith comes from experience of having seen God provide, but it also comes from considering what God has done. No, Jesus says, consider the ravens, consider the flowers. Take time to reflect on how God has worked. And as you do that, then God will show up in your lives and show you, oh yeah, I've done this and I've done this. And it has a way of building your faith. Oftentimes when God does something around us or for us, we fail to consider it. We often even fail to give thanks for it. And we miss developing a faith in the character of God. We don't reflect on his goodness. Know that worry is a problem. Know that faith in the character of God is a way to combat worry. Jesus goes on, verse 29, and don't be concerned about what you're going to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. Or the NIV says, and don't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about such things. I like that translation. Don't set your heart on it. Don't set your heart on the scarcity. Don't focus on your scarcity. Now, this does not mean that you're pretending that what you need is not a need. This does not mean that you're pretending that, well, the problem doesn't exist. This does not mean that you are pretending that, I have all the money I need when you don't. But you are not going to spend your time focusing over and over and over again on the problem. And this matters. There are times when you have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Do not keep focusing on what you do not have. Don't keep your focus on the scarcity. Verse 30, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows what you need. God recognizes that you have a need. Just don't let your needs dominate your thoughts. Then he goes on to say this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Here's the promise. Instead of letting your worries dominate your thoughts, put that energy into seeking the kingdom of God, and God will take care of what you need. See, when we seek the kingdom of God, we pray like Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we seek the kingdom of God, we seek to know and do the will of God. We seek the kingdom of God when we seek to know what God wants and we do it. You seek the kingdom of God in prayer. You seek the kingdom of God in worship. You seek the kingdom of God by getting into the scriptures and looking for the heart of God. What are the things that God loves? What are the things that please God? What are the things that that move the heart of God? And as you seek the kingdom of God, the promise is that God will provide what you need. When we seek the kingdom of God and we live under the reign of God, then our life flourishes. Our hearts are enriched. The power of God becomes evident. We live in the love of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The NIV translates it, that the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, so don't be afraid, little flock. for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, you'll have everything you need in terms of money. Your needs will be met, but more than that, you will be given the kingdom, the power and the love and the life that only God can give. He comes with a peace and a joy. He comes with a righteousness that comes from the Spirit of God, and he's really pleased to give you that. So Jesus goes on. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. He takes the people who have worried about money and then he turns them into a generous people. People who give to those who are in need. Jesus takes people from worrying about where their next meal is coming from, and he says, the issue is not the meal. The issue is worry. And have faith in the character of God. Reflect on who God is so that your faith can be built. Don't focus on what you don't have. Instead, focus on the kingdom of God. And God will give you both what you need and the kingdom itself. And when you have the kingdom of God and God has provided what you need, then something else, you start to see that there's things that are more valuable than money. You will treasure the things of the kingdom of God, both now and for eternity. But when you have what you need and you also get a heart for what God wants to see in this world, then you start to make that a priority. And then you start to see the needs of others as a priority. And when you are not worried about what you don't have and you're filled with a peace and joy that comes from living out the kingdom, generosity is both a byproduct and an insurance policy. We give because we're kingdom people. We care about people. We care about people who are in need. But also, it's very easy to become money-focused again rather than kingdom-focused. Being generous is a way to combat that. Jesus comes along and says, it's not the lack of money that's the main issue. Worry is the main issue. Look at my character. Look at what I've done. Trust in me. Instead of putting all your energy into worry, put it into seeking the kingdom. And if you do that, I'll take care of what you need. And not only that, I'll give you the kingdom too. And kingdom people are generous people because they have gained a heart for the world and they protect their hearts from becoming worldly by giving. So Jesus says, I have an alternate way of living, a better way of living, a way where you walk in goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for all those who can see a picture of an alternate way of living. Instead of being encased by worry and downtrodden by fear, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to walk in your kingdom and that they would seek first your kingdom. And I pray that they would find you faithful as they do that. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in this work. You can contact us by email or Twitter, via the website. Just log on to www.goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donation of so many faithful people. Thank you so much for helping. You can give if you go to the website. And my prayer for you right now is that may you know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit provide all that you need. May you encounter God the Father in such a deep and loving way that he would settle into your heart and you would have a deep, settled faith in his goodness. Go in peace and listen to the music from the song, Lord, Reign in Me.
sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams, in my darkest hour. 'Cause you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord?
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.